programme Longueur d'onde avec Guillaume Anglais sur la poste radio Resonance. Modulation fréquence 104,4 MHz à Londres. Voi sentite una trasmissione radio della programma Lunghezza d'onda con Guglielmo Inglese sulla stazione Risonanza. Modulazione frequenza su 104,4 MHz a Londra. Sie hören der Radioprogramm Wellenlänge mit Wilhelm Englisch vom Sender Resonanz. Frequenzmodulation 104,4 MHz in London. You are listening to the radio broadcast Wavelengths with William English on the station Resonance 104.4 FM in London.
Ode on the assassination of President Johnson on the 1,000th floor of the Texas Corpse Depository. A million dead people kneel at the windows, their terror-eaten eyes, their maggot-smitten eyes, their eyes blistered, sliced, exploded, focusing down on the golden vehicle. They wait. They have been waiting for many years. And now, as the presidential procession approaches, the route is lined by waving copies of Time magazine and cheering television sets. In offices along the way, ticker tape machines have been tearing office workers into hero confetti. Folks, it's literally snowing flesh. From the 1,000th floor of the Texas Corpse Depository, a million bullets of blood converge. There is a highway through the presidential throat, and yellow metal, chilly but molten, pours from his jugular. There is no need to panic. Another President Johnson is being sworn in. There is no need to panic. A million dead people have been arrested, found guilty, and killed again. There is no need to panic. There is an almost unlimited supply of President Johnsons. So alter the score in the war between the rich and the poor. Add one more unit to the casualty statistics computer. One eye for 1 million eyes. He had it coming.
The insecurity of crystalline political superstructures as a consequence of economic crisis and social conflict is not in itself a new form of social organization making deep changes in the social project. Unless a conscious socialist transformatory alternative develops, the result of crisis must be a further entrenchment of reaction and the growth of mass repression in lieu of solutions to society's problems. The ruling classes are universally appraised of such prospects. In the non-industrial countries, the only growth industry is military. And in the industrial, advanced countries, there is a vogue for discovering and eliminating dangers within, and an increase in hysterical, repressive legislation. The ideal is now the strong and opaque state, where repression keeps workers in line and activists harassed, entangled in a charade, tolerated up to a point. The point is that at which the activists start being themselves, cease to resemble traditional reformist organizations. The latter are, in any case, afforded space in which to operate and to mystify. For the ruling class is to want such regimes is one thing, to achieve them quite another. The workers can move to the center of political events rapidly and surprise the ruling classes with their economic power. This, even when the working class as such is a minority. But the prospect remains bright for the authoritarian right. For this, both the reformist parties and the peasant-fixated 1960s revolutionaries are to blame. What is needed is an integration of the ideology of socialism, socialist transformatory sections, with the industrial working class, socialist working class solidarity is historical leadership identity.
Organization of activity into social critical action will be no more than degenerate if it remains in the realm of participatory conflict. The concrete tasks of transition must supersede the aimless wanderings of fetishism. In this connection, allegedly progressive smart people have no advantages over the people they feel sorry for. They have no firm class basis. The willing servants of the ruling class have split society's forms away from reality. This is a cultural index of its measures to depoliticize, disarm those who may be in a position to struggle against it. High culture as a dimension of ideology has been absorbed into the absurd ideology of high culture. The struggle for realism as social practice is vitiated by private commitment. The only first step is the performance of concrete organizational tasks, organization on class lines against the institutional ideology. Such activity will, of course, be condemned as insufficient work, etc., by the ruling class. They are in a position to legislate in this respect only within the confines of the ruling class ideology. Class action and its historical meaning will, with few exceptions, remain opaque to them, to their institutions. Organizational, socializing tasks will be met by an increased intensity of repression, a proliferation of arbitrary measures in the guise of substantive criticism. Transitional tasks are not negotiable.
If you understand that term to have such a broad sense, but you speak to an audience that understands the term to have a somewhat narrower sense, it lends to your remarks a quality of sensationalism and a force that's strictly locutionary, just strictly linguistic. It's kind of empty rhetoric.
Yeah. But as much I could do it, I gave already the proofs that it is not only sensation, but it has to be sensation. Otherwise, it would be of no interest. It has to be sensationally. So it has also to be dramatically, because it is a drama. So it is a new way to play the Hamlet on stage. You know, in the street you can see people, they play the Hamlet better than me. Yeah. And that is the whole sense of the thing. So it stays in the very energy in the middle of the understanding of art, and covers also demands of people who are interested in high-developed character of painting and high-developed ideas of architecture and sculpture. It covers it, but it covers it not even. It is the premise to come to quality in painting. So I say only simple. He who is not, or she who is not interested in social sculpture will never come in result with painting. They will never appear interested in painting anymore. If there is not a new soil prepared, a new humus prepared for all these questions, for the idea of humankind and his ability with his spirit, because this solves the energy problem. We are not dependent on fuel. We can also survive with a glass of water, because we have the willpower, the feeling power, and the power of thought, the power of imagination, transformation, inspiration, intuition. And if we go on with this energy, we are independent on fuel. Fuel.
Mr. B?
I think now, oh yes, another question.
Oh, okay,
Mr.
Yeah.
Mr. B, can I speak?
Continue, yeah.
Do you have an American favorite artist? And why?
Oh yes, I could tell you about.
Why?
Why?
Who?
What?
Who?
Jackson Pollock.
Huh?
Jackson Pollock.
Why?
Because he made a kind of generalization, yes, you know, which impulsed me to do also a kind of generalization, but not in the field of painting, in the field of the energy problem.
Right.
I found always that Jackson Pollock had a relation to the problem of energies, you know. It was a very mesmerizing kind of painting. It was a power field.
Right. Could he be wrong, though?
You know? But
could he have been wrong?
Could?
Could he have been wrong?
No. No. Never. Never. And so did Elvis Presley.
To whom it may concern, I was run over by the truth one day. Ever since the accident, I've walked this way, so stick my legs in plaster, tell me lies about Vietnam. Heard the alarm clock screaming with pain, couldn't find myself, so I went back to sleep again. So fill my ears with silver, stick my legs in plaster, tell me lies about Vietnam. Every time I shut my eyes, all I see is flames. I made a marble phone book, and I carved all the names, so coat my eyes with butter, fill my ears with silver, stick my legs in plaster, tell me lies about Vietnam. I smell something burning, hope it's just my brains. They're only dropping peppermints and daisy chains. So stuff my nose with garlic, coat my eyes with butter, fill my ears with silver, stick my legs in plaster, tell me lies about Vietnam. Where were you at the time of the crime? Down by the cenotaph, drinking slime. So chain my tongue with whiskey, stuff my nose with garlic, coat my eyes with butter, fill my ears with silver, stick my legs in plaster, tell me lies about Vietnam. You put your bombers in, you put your conscience out, you take the human being and you twist it all about. So scrub my skin with women, chain my tongue with whiskey, stuff my nose with garlic, coat my eyes with butter, fill my ears with silver, stick my legs in plaster, tell me lies about Vietnam.
For the ruling class and labor governments, the situation is getting worse and worse. Everything they try is bound to fail, because they labor under history's inescapable curse. From crisis to crisis, they lurch and they sway. They scratch their heads to find a new devious way. They hope the social contract is for their country's health. What they mean is healthy profits for ruling class wealth.
So smash, smash, smash the social contract. It's the cry of workers all over the land. No to class collaboration. We sorted out your lies and deception. You always come for sacrifice, and the sacrifice we're ready for, not to save the system, but for the victory of our class.
Liberal, Labour, Tory, all the same, they play the part of monopoly capitalist banks. No matter if they call us brothers, they want the price of the crisis to be laid on our backs. Give up this, give up that, take the cuts and tighten their belts. Say the social contract is for the country's health. What they mean is healthy profits for ruling class wealth.
Smash, smash, smash the social contract. It's the cry of workers all over the land. No to class collaboration. We sorted out.
Class-conscious workers are shouting, no, no, no. Dockers and sailors on the seas, and other workers join the battle, and the tide is in flood. As the masses struggle, the masters shrink away. The brutal reality is plain to see. The real social contract, we see it plain as glass, between the labor aristocracy and the ruling class.
Smash, smash, smash the social contract. Cry of workers all over the land. Go to class collaboration. We sorted out your lives and deception.
Thank you. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And you heard Adrian Mitchell, Ode on the Assassination of President Johnson, from the 1968 LP, A Laugh, A Song, A Hand Grenade, followed by two tracks from Art and Language and the Red Crayola, from the 1976 LP, Corrected Slogans. Then we had Joseph Beuys, excerpt from the Cooper Union Dialogue from a videotape released on the LP Revolutions Per Minute, The Art Record 1982. Then another track by Adrian Mitchell, again, To Whom It May Concern, from the LP A Laugh, A Song, A Hand Grenade. Then Cornelius Cardew, Smash the Social Contract, from a rare collection of live recordings made between 1973 and 78, released on CD in 2001. And finally, Frederick Rzewski, the last section of 36 variations on a Chilean song, The People United Will Never Be Defeated.